In addition to reading some really good mass readings, we'll look at the fourth commandment on this episode of the Gary Zimek Show. Stay tuned. Here we go. Hey there, welcome to the program. Come on in and make yourself comfortable. I'm just sitting here sipping on my Mystic Monk coffee. Boy, I'll tell you what, it is a beautiful day out. Got the window open, so you might hear some of the sounds from the outside drift in. It was, man, I'll tell you what, just a beautiful day here in southern New Jersey. Hope you're doing well. Hope you had a great weekend. We, on the program today, we're going to, I want to say continue, but since we've taken a break, we might have some new listeners who aren't aware of this, but essentially what we're going to do is continue this series, this Monday night series, on what the church really believes, or what Catholics really believe, because I think it's really important that we understand what it is that our church teaches. We believe that Christ founded a church. That church is the Catholic Church. So if we're going to understand Jesus and really get to know him, it's important that we get to know his church. Now today, what I'm going to do is just pick up from where I left off several months ago, before we began the Lenten Radio Retreat. We were going through a discussion of the Ten Commandments, and I think it's just as easy to keep going from where I stopped. So today, we'll look at the Fourth Commandment, what it means, and how we can live that Fourth Commandment. We'll also, before we do that, we'll look at the daily Mass readings. Today is the memorial of Saint Stanislaus. Give you a little bit of background about him. He was the son of nobles, and Stanislaus was elected bishop of Krakow, Poland, in 1072. After he rebuked King Boleslaus II for immoral practices, the king had Stanislaus murdered while he said Mass. Boy, that's nasty, isn't it? Stanislaus's canonization followed upon the reports of numerous miracles. His tomb at Wawel Cathedral became the center of prayer for the Polish nation. And St. Augustine said this, "The earth has been filled with martyrs as if with the seed of blood, and from that seed there has resulted a harvest for the church. They asserted Christ more when they were dead than when they were alive. Today they assert him, today they preach him, their tongues are silent. It is their deeds that speak." Again, that's a quote about martyrs from St. Augustine. So we want to ask St. Stanislaus to pray for us, and to especially to pray for us to be able to have that kind of that fortitude that would make us willing to give up our lives for the Lord if the need would arise. I'm not saying it's going to arise, but if it would, it would be great to have that kind of strong fortitude that we're willing to do it. All right, so before we look at the Mass readings from Monday of the third week of Easter, oh, you know what I want to do? I want to pull out my calendar here briefly and sort of put things into perspective. This past Sunday, yesterday, was the third Sunday of Easter. Now, next Sunday is the fourth Sunday, followed by the fifth Sunday, the sixth Sunday, and on May the 8th, we have the seventh Sunday of Easter. And then the following Sunday after that is Pentecost Sunday, and that's when we go back into ordinary time after Pentecost Sunday. So that sort of puts it into perspective. We do have 7 weeks of Easter. We're right now in the third week of Easter, so we are still very much in the Easter season. So let's not forget that. It's a great time to remember the fact that the Lord did rise from the dead. He did just what he said he would do, and by doing that, by rising from the dead, he was able to put an end to death as we know it. Certainly, we still have earthly death, but once we die, we'll be able to rise. We will be able to live with the Lord forever. And then one day, our bodies, at the Lord's second coming, our bodies will actually come out of the ground. I know it's hard to understand, but that is what we believe. And be reunited with our souls, and we'll have a glorified body at that point. But I'll tell you what, I can't wait to get that glorified body. It's going to be good. Okay, a couple of other things. If you're in the Pittsburgh area, I'll be headed your way on Wednesday. I'll be speaking at the Church of the North American Martyrs, which is in Monroeville, just outside of Pittsburgh. Stop on by. The talk I'm giving is The Secret of Happiness. I'll have my books and my recordings and all kinds of good stuff there. So I'd love to meet you. There is no admission, but I would love to be able to see you there. The details can be found on my website, followingthetruth.com. I also was able to book some other talks in the past couple of days. So if you want to stay up to date on my future travels and my future speaking engagements, I invite you to visit my website, followingthetruth.com, to look for more information as it comes. And listen, if you want me to come to your parish, please let me know. Just either send me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com or visit followingthetruth.com and connect to me through my website right there. You can just go to the contact page. All right? Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for another day. You have given us this day. You are allowing our bodies to function, our hearts to keep beating, our brains to keep thinking. We're grateful for this opportunity. Father, we ask you to please let us know what we can do for you this day, what we can do to serve you, and to show our appreciation for the fact that you did give us another day. And the fact that you gave us another day means that you have a plan for us. Please let us know what that plan is so that we can do your will at all times. We also ask that you bless our families, bless all of those around us, anybody we come in contact with, anybody we see throughout the day. We ask you to bless them, and please help us to be able to love them in some way. Please help those who are sick, those who are lonely, those who are anxious, those who are struggling with doubt or despair, those who might be battling addiction. We also ask you, Father, to help those who are suffering financially. Please help them. Help them with what they need and allow them to feel your peace. We also ask you to help us with our own personal intentions. And I give you this program, Father in heaven, and I ask you to take it over for me, to speak through me, and to use your message, to use me to proclaim your message. And please open our minds and our hearts so that we may be receptive to the message that you have. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers as together we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Stanislaus, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, thank you for praying. My name is Gary Zimek, and we do this program every Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio. We're now in our fifth year. Actually, now we're in our sixth year. We've completed 5 years. That totally blows my mind. I want to ask for your prayers while I'm at it. I've got a radio project that I plan to be working on in the next couple of weeks. It's going to start to take form. So if you'd please keep that special intention for that project in your prayers, it would really be very much appreciated by me. And I think it has the potential to help a lot of people. So if you'd please consider that, I would really appreciate it. And don't worry, this program will continue just as it is. This program is not going anywhere. I'm going to still do this program on Blog Talk Radio. But this is an additional project that I will be working on, and I'm really excited about. Okay, so please keep that in mind. All right, now I have to take a sip of my beverage du jour, which I already told you was Mystic Monk Coffee, but I didn't tell you what kind, did I? All right, were you able to pick it up? By the way, I'm drinking it out of my Mother Angelica, my brand new Mother Angelica coffee mug, so Mother is with me on the program. I am drinking Pascha Java to celebrate the fact that we are still in the Easter season. Now, if you're a coffee fanatic, as I am, you want to get some of the best coffee that you have ever had, if not the best coffee you have ever had, I invite you to visit my friends at Mystic Monk Coffee. And what you can do is go to my website, followingthetruth.com, and click on the Mystic Monk image. That will take you there. And when you do it that way, you help me out, because any purchase that you make results in a bit of a commission for me. And while you're at it, please don't forget the Amazon store. If you're someone who shops at Amazon.com, if you would kindly just use the link on my website. You're going to still get the same prices. Everything will remain the same. The only difference is that when you use that link, all of your purchases result in Amazon giving me a little bit of a commission. And that's one of the ways I keep this program on the air, and I keep it free of charge. So you just go to followingthetruth.com, and that would be any time you want to purchase something from Amazon. Go to followingthetruth.com, click on the Amazon link. It's right on the sidebar, right around the Mystic Monk image. There's a link there, and that'll take you right into Amazon.com. And again, everything will be the same for you. But because you came from my website, that results in a profit for me. So I'd really appreciate that if you could let your family and friends know about that as well. It doesn't cost you anything. And that's a great way for you to support my work financially without paying anything. I mean, I realize that sometimes it's tough to make a financial contribution, but if you're going to buy something from Amazon, why not do it that way? So that's a big boost for me. Okay, so let's talk about our Mass readings today. Monday of the third week of Easter. Once again, we are walking through the Acts of the Apostles. This is Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 15. We're learning about the early church, and today we're going to hear about St. Stephen, one of the first deacons that we read. I think we read this last week. St. Stephen was ordained one of the first deacons in order to help the apostles with some of their duties. Stephen, filled with grace and power, was working great wonders and signs among the people. Certain members of the so-called synagogue of freedmen, Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and people from Cilicia and Asia, came forward and debated with Stephen, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. Then they instigated some men to say, "We have heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God." They stirred up the people, the elders, and the scribes, accosted him, seized him, and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They presented false witnesses who testified, "This man never stopped saying things against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him claim that this Jesus the Nazarene will destroy this place and change the customs that Moses handed down to us." All those who sat in the Sanhedrin looked intently at him and saw that his face was like the face of an angel. We see another example. It's pretty nasty, isn't it, when we look at what's happening here. We see people who are completely determined to thwart Christianity. They don't like the message of Christ. They don't like what Stephen is proclaiming when he's talking about Jesus. So what are they going to do? They're going to make up stories. They will stop at nothing. Now, I know we look at these guys and we think, wow, they are really terrible. It's a good thing we're not like that. But let's think about it. Sometimes, can't we get a little nasty? Can't we get a little closed-minded? I'm not saying we're going to make up stories and do what they did. But did you ever get jealous about somebody? Somebody who might be, if you're someone who is involved with the church, maybe somebody who's getting a little bit more credit than you are. And it could happen at work, too. You're jealous of a person because they're recognized and you're not. That, you know, it's not a very good thing to do. It's nothing to be proud of, but it's something we can all relate to because we've all fallen into this at times. So let's be grateful. Let's be grateful for the grace that God gives us and the ability to rise above this kind of behavior. You know, instead of looking at these guys, let's look at Stephen and the fact that he spoke out even though he was making enemies. Stephen spoke out for the truth. He spoke out for Jesus, even though he was gathering enemies. Now, do we have the courage to do the same? Well, that's something, you know, we talked about St. Stanislaus at the beginning of the program. That's the kind of grace that we can ask for. We've got the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Fortitude is one of those gifts. Do you have the courage to continue to speak out even when your message might not be received in the manner you would like? If people look at you like you're some sort of a lunatic. Now, I'm not saying to say it in a way that becomes nasty. You don't want to become nasty. You don't want to be uncharitable. But sometimes you have to speak the truth. Are you willing? If you're not, if you're afraid, if you're somebody who thinks that I don't really like to speak out, you're very normal. That's a really common fear. So what you could do is pray for the grace to be able to do that. The Psalm, Psalm 119, one of my favorites. Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. Though princes meet and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. Yes, your decrees are my delight. They are my counselors. I declared my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous deeds. Remove from me the way of falsehood and favor me with your law. The way of truth I have chosen. I have set your ordinances before me. Now, this is one of the reasons that we look at the teachings of the church every Monday, because the church does have laws. I know we don't like the word laws. We don't like the word rules. We don't like to be told what to do. But this is God's way of telling us how much he loves us. Why? Because he wants us to live with him in heaven. And in order for that to happen, we have to follow his rules. He's going to tell us how that works. So in order for us to do that, in order for us to be able to get to heaven, we need to understand what is required of us. So it really is a good thing. And look at it this way, and that's why I like Psalm 119. When the Lord reveals himself through his church, we're going to learn more about him. That's one of the ways that we can get to know him, because of the teachings of his church. So if you get closer to the Lord, if the more you learn about the teachings of his church, the more you are going to learn about the Lord. So it really is a good thing. So again, if you struggle with that, pray for the desire to be able to pursue it, or to really want to pursue it. The Gospel is from John 6:22-29. After Jesus had fed the 5,000 men, his disciples saw him walking on the sea. The next day, the crowd that remained across the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not gone along with the disciples in the boat, but only his disciples had left. Other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they had eaten the bread when the Lord gave thanks. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum, looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father God has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." Now there's a pretty powerful message in this gospel passage today. Jesus said, "Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." So the Lord is willing to give us the food that will not perish. We can eat food for our bodies, but that food is going to have to, eventually that food's going to either rot, or we're going to digest it and we'll need new food. The grace that the Lord gives us, he wants to give us food that will get us throughout, that will make us, allow us to reach heaven. We were created to live in heaven. Our life is more than the span of time we spend on earth. In order for that to be possible, we need the bread of life. We need eternal food. And the Lord's willing to give that to us. And I think if I would give you one message from this gospel today, I would say, don't forget to ask for spiritual graces, spiritual treasures, spiritual gifts, whatever you want to call them. We always remember when we pray to ask for material things, because they're the most obvious things. What, if I were to ask you what's your greatest need in life, you'd probably name something, and there's a good chance it would be material, I would suspect. Your greatest need in life is getting to heaven. You can't get there by yourself. Fortunately for you and for me, Jesus Christ has opened the gates of heaven by virtue of his death, and his resurrection, but he's also willing to give us the graces, and he does this through his church and the sacraments, to be able to get to heaven. Just because the door's open doesn't mean I can get there. That's your greatest need. You can't get there without his help. So we sometimes forget that. Don't forget to ask for spiritual needs every day. Ask for the ability to pray harder. Ask for the courage to be a martyr. Ask for patience. There's so many things you can ask for. Ask for the grace to be able to figure out what you need. So many times we don't even know what our greatest spiritual need is. So keep that in mind and realize that, yes, the Lord wants to provide for your material needs. He really does. So ask him for whatever you think you need. But don't forget to ask for the spiritual gifts as well, because they're more important. The spiritual treasure that you build up in this life will go with you into the next life. That's going to get you to heaven. But if you just ask for money, if you just ask for success, if you just ask for possessions, whatever they may be, a new house so you can enjoy the house here, whatever. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's temporary. You want to make sure that that's not the only thing you ask for, but it really is, it's a big temptation. We're very dependent on our senses, and it's a lot easier for me to recognize my material needs than it is to recognize my spiritual needs. It's just something to work on. Obviously, Saint Stephen, who we read about in the first reading, he had that vision, he had that gift to be able to recognize that this life isn't the end of the story. There's a more important thing. We see it in the Acts of the Apostles as well. When we look at the apostles in the early church, they didn't care if they were thrown into prison. They were more determined to obey the Lord. That's where we want to be. And again, we're not going to get there on our own. We're going to get there with the help of the Lord's grace. So ask for the grace to be more courageous and to be able to do what St. Stanislaus did, what St. Stephen did, what the apostles did, to be even willing to die for your faith. Okay, let's talk now about the fourth commandment. And again, this is a series that we've been doing called What Catholics Really Believe. You know, a lot of times, one of the big problems with those of us who are Catholic, especially people like me who are cradle Catholics, is we don't know what our church teaches. And if we're really going to get to know Jesus Christ as we want to, we need to be able to learn about his church, to learn what his church teaches. The more we learn about his church, the more we learn about him. Today, we will continue our series on the Ten Commandments. We'll look at the fourth commandment, which is honor your father and mother. What I am using, I love the Catechism of the Catholic Church, but sometimes for this program, it gets a bit wordy. So what I like to do is use a book published by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops called the Compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And what this does, it breaks down church teachings into question and answer formats. Lot simpler for this radio program. So if you're following along at home, this is question 455. And I do recommend you get this book. It's a paperback book. It's under $20. Very, very highly recommended. What does the fourth commandment require? It commands us to honor and respect our parents and those whom God, for our good, has vested with his authority. Now, keep that in mind. See, sometimes when you look at these commandments, when you look at the Ten Commandments, and you don't have the church to elaborate with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can say, well, honor my father and my mother. My parents are dead, so therefore I don't have to worry about that. Well, it's more than that. The church also includes those for our good that God has vested with his authority. Let me talk a little bit more about that. What is the nature of the family and the plan of God? A man and woman united in marriage form a family together with their children. Now note that. This is what we believe as Catholics. We're not making this up. This comes from God. Marriage is between one man and one woman. You're going to get pressure on this. Now, this is where you need the courage to be able to speak the truth. As a Catholic Christian, people are going to be telling you that is a narrow-minded view, but it's really the way that God made it. One man, one woman. They form a family with their children. God instituted the family and endowed it with its fundamental constitution. Marriage and the family are ordered to the good of the spouses and to the procreation and education of children. Members of the same family establish among themselves personal relationships and primary responsibilities. In Christ, the family becomes the domestic church because it is a community of faith, of hope, and of charity. What place does the family occupy in society? The family is the original cell of human society and is, therefore, prior to any recognition by public authority. Family values and principles constitute the foundation of social life. Family life is an initiation into the life of society. What are the duties that society has toward the family? Society, while respecting the principle of subsidiarity, has the duty to support and strengthen marriage and the family. Public authority must respect, protect, and foster the true nature of marriage and the family, public morality, and the rights of parents, and domestic prosperity. Now, I'm going to say this. When this was originally written, let's see, when did this come out? 2006. The whole idea of same-sex marriage really wasn't anywhere near as popular as it is now. That's a big threat. That's a big threat to the family. And here's where you and I come in. It's up to us to be willing to speak the truth and to live our family life out, obviously, if we are in a family, if we're married, if we have children, or if we are living with our parents, whatever the case, but also to speak out and to say, no, I don't believe that. I don't believe society, what you are telling me. That's not a family. It takes courage. It really does, but that's what we're called to do. What are the duties of children toward their parents? Children owe respect, gratitude, docility, and obedience to their parents. In paying them respect and in fostering good relationships with their brothers and sisters, children contribute to the growth in harmony and holiness in family life in general. Adult children should give their parents material and moral support whenever they find themselves in situations of distress, sickness, loneliness, or old age. So, certainly the commandment is to be taken literally. We are to respect and support our parents. What are the duties of parents toward their children? Parents, in virtue of their participation in the fatherhood of God, have the first responsibility for the education of their children, and they are the first heralds of the faith for them. Let's stop it here because you need to hear this. You, if you are a parent, are responsible for the education of your children, and you are responsible for living your faith and showing them the faith. That's you. And one day, you're going to have to account for what you did or did not do before the Lord. That is a big responsibility. Please don't take it lightly. Set a good example. Tell your children you love Jesus. Show them. Make sure you go to Mass. Make sure you follow the teachings of the church. Make sure you don't talk disrespectfully about priests, about sisters, about the church. It's a big, big responsibility that we have as parents. We've got to be very careful about that. They have the duty to love. Parents have the duty to love and respect their children as persons and as children of God, and to provide as far as possible for their physical and spiritual needs. They should select for them a suitable school and help them with prudent counsel in the choice of their profession and their state of life. In particular, they have the mission of educating their children in the Christian faith. Wow. How are parents to educate their children in the Christian faith? Very simply, by example, by prayer, by family catechesis, and participation in the life of the church. Please, please, please take that authority. Now, I take that seriously. I'm running out of time. I want to make sure I get this in. Remember I said that we also are obliged to obey authority, legitimate authority. Citizens, in regard to civil authorities, those subject to authority should regard those in authority as representatives of God and offer their loyal collaboration for the right functioning of public and social life, okay, including defending one's country, paying taxes, the right and duty to vote. That's our duty. Part of the fourth commandment. When is a citizen forbidden to obey civil authorities? When a citizen is obliged in conscience not to obey the laws of civil authorities, when they are contrary to the demands of the moral order. Acts of the Apostles, we just heard this last week. We must obey God rather than man. Very important responsibility. I'm out of time, but if you have any more questions, feel free to email me, Gary@followingthetruth.com. Have a wonderful night, God willing. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.